You know, it's great to have family, and most particularly, it's great to have you as church family. And it's always fun to greet all of you in the name of the Lord and give those special hugs. Well, I have another family, and I must say that I'm one of those husbands that enjoys his wife's family. They are the greatest. Junior has four sisters who are very much different, yet the same in many ways. There's something that draws you to them, and you just enjoy being with them. You ever have people like that that you just enjoy being with? That's the way they are, and they surround you with so much caring and love that, boy, it's always tough to leave. It's always tough to leave. They're great conversationalists, these ladies. They are a tremendous seamstress. Betty used to do princess clothes for our daughter. They're just so giving. And Cindy just owns a bed and breakfast, and that's her personal ministry. They're the best seamstress. They are the best cooks. Now, guys, I tell you, I'm sorry, you should feel jealous for me. Because when we go there, we feast every day. I mean, it's just nothing but the best. All four of these ladies, five counting Ginger, were graduated in the top of their class. I think three out of the five were valedictorians. I know these ladies could have gone far in business. I've worked in business. And they are bright, and they are fun to be with. But they, instead, wanted to raise their families and serve those around them. And they continue to do that. We enjoy them so much that our good friends Debbie and Steve, after they came to Christ, we wanted to share them with the family. So actually, we started taking them to our Thanksgiving reunion. And they couldn't wait to get there. Each and every year, here was this strange couple. Everybody would say, who's this, who's this? But it was their friends Steve and Debbie. And they even brought their dad. And they were instantly adopted into the family. So much that they would have Sister's Day, and Debbie would join them. And so it was just such a such an open family. I kept on asking, what makes them different than others? And it keeps on coming back to me that they were all Christian ladies. And they're... all of them are more concerned, and currently more concerned, about you and not themselves. And they draw you in by this graciousness and their hospitality. And more than anything, they're refreshing to be with. It's just like a fresh piece of fruit, you know? So there are tons of times you just want a nice, juicy apple. And that's what they presented to all those around. Their attitudes and beliefs in you made you want to be with them. And you know something? You can't manufacture that. You cannot manufacture it. It was just who they are and who they currently are. There's something irresistible about a Christian that walks their walk and talks their talk. A Christian that is more about giving love than receiving love. Our children to this day, even though they're scattered across the U.S., they keep on talking about the reunions we used to have, and the good times we used to have visiting the family. Makes you want to join us. Who wants to come home with us someday to Pittsburgh? Okay. But their attitude and their character planted seeds in those that they met. As I said, Cindy owns a bed and breakfast with her son and daughter-in-law. And Cindy constantly talks about people coming up to her and asking her questions and asking even for prayer. Can you imagine that? That Cindy's own ministry is at the bed and breakfast, being available to listen, being available to care, and being available to love. You know, it's nice to go to an atmosphere that's safe and that's pleasant. And you know what? We can wear the Christian name. We can be holier than thou. We can tell people of all their eternal demise. and try to convince people about Jesus with very little results. And most of the time we drive others away. Or we could just be like Ginger's sisters, which demonstrate love, which demonstrate the character of Christ, who demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit, which is being kind and good and loving and faithful and patient, self-controlled, joyful, and humble. And certainly these ladies are at peace. These are the fruits of a mature Christian. And they have a sweetness to them. It draws us in. How many like to see somebody that has faith and that loves us, that cares about us, and that you can care for too? We all do. And it draws them and has that great aroma that can refresh the soul. And not only that, it's fruit that bears seeds. And it can multiply in those that yearn for something different in today's world. My daughter and my son, both are married. Now they have a model of what a family should be like. They have a model of how you invite people in. They have a model of hospitality and love. Want you to know that we can be that model too? So today's sermon is on section 5 of the 1 Minute Bible by Lawrence Kimbrough, and it's called Sure Signs of Growth. Now, if you haven't started the book yet, you're only 42 devotionals behind. That's 42 minutes. That is equivalent to less than a full episode of CSI and Law and Order. You got that? So please get in that devotional. It is just so meaty and full of good stuff for us. Our scripture reading comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. But before we do... Before we read this, why don't you tell your neighbor that I want to bear fruit for Jesus? Why don't you do that? I want to bear fruit for Jesus. Okay. Now say it again and mean it. I want to bear fruit for Jesus. Okay. Amen. Let's go to Scripture and let's read. John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today and for this congregation. I thank you so much that we know that you say that we are yours. That you can constantly tell us, if we want a life with you, that you're mine, you say, you're mine, you're mine. We thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you will guide my words today, that as we talk about sure signs of growth, that we run to you as the vines to draw all those characteristics that we want in our lives and we want to give to others. Help us, Lord, to be fruit bearers. Help us, Lord, to be vitally connected to you each and every day in prayer and fellowship and in reading your word. So with that, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit will reveal to us things about being connected to you and about how we too can refresh others in this lost and dying world. Guide my lips. Guide my heart, Lord. May this day be pleasing to you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, no, bearing fruit is not unusual as a command of God. You remember in Genesis, God said to Adam and Eve to bear fruit and multiply. It was a command. Of course, we see that in the physical sense. Have lots of kids and be productive. And that's good too. But we also have to look at that in the spiritual sense. Be fruitful spiritually. To multiply what God has deposited in our hearts. The Gospel of John tells us that the Father has created us to bear fruit. That is one of our purposes, because bearing fruit glorifies God. And one of our main purposes is to glorify God. That's our purpose in life, to glorify God. But bearing fruit can only happen if we're connected to the vine. It is only in this connection that we can draw from God's nature and the nutrients of a vine. Why do you think vines go deep in the ground? And they hover out. And they have roots. Why? To draw nutrients. The vine has nutrients in it. Good things for us to produce fruit. That's why in John it says, let's be close to it. We can't do that if we're disconnected. What happens if you cut off a branch of a tree? Does that branch grow? No, it really doesn't. It's vitally connected to the tree. You know, we can grunt and groan about bearing fruit. We can say, I'm going to love somebody. I'm going to have patience. But if we're not connected, it just isn't going to happen. We've got to be connected to our source, our power source. Does bearing fruit happen overnight? No. All trees have a period, a gestation period, I believe it's called, before they can have fruit. But they're made, and they're made, and their nature is to grow that fruit. And yes, unfortunately, we will get pruned. How many here love being pruned? We will get pruned. Our pride will get pruned. Ouch! Our self-centeredness will get pruned. Ooh. And our ambitions will get pruned. Oh. Because God has a plan for us, and He'll prune us to mature us, to make us grow faster and bear more delectable, appealing fruit. But if we want to win people to Christ, it will not be because of our ability to convince people through persuasion, but by the way we live, which should be much different than the rest of the world. It's that bears fruit. Here's what Kimbrough says in One Minute Bible. Where in the name of Christian can draw a lot of fire from other people, those who'd rather blame the world's problem on church hypocrisy than to deal squarely with their own lives. But you rarely convince them of God's love with clever words and persuasion. You win them over bearing fruit that tastes too good to resist. Do I hear an amen on that? Amen. Okay, so what are the signs of growth or being a fruit bearer? Well, the book listed 10 such signs. We're going to try to take them two at a time, because they're very similar in each one of these as we go forward. But let's go through the 10 that's listed in the One Minute Bible. Signs of being a fruit bearer is peace and contentment. How many here want peace and contentment in their lives? We all do. But you know, many people think that peace and contentment means a good life. No problems, no tragedies, or a fairy tale existence. Unfortunately, life isn't that way. Bad things do happen to good people. 25 years ago, Ginger's sister, Cindy, lost her husband in an automobile accident. And that's when Corey was probably 8 or 9, and I imagine Heather was probably 4 or 5. She found strength in God. She drew from God. She got peace and contentment from God. Bad things happened to her, but it didn't stop her from believing that God is in control. Paul himself says this in Philippians, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." Don't you like that? That's what her sister Cindy did. Got through the tough times and going to God and relying on His strength to get her through that situation. I like what Chuck Swindoll says. "A mark of spiritual maturity is a quiet confidence that God is in control without the need to understand why He does what He does." Amen? How many of us say, "God, why did that happen? What happened here? Why in the world would that happen to me?" And we hear, "Why not? I sent my son. Why should my son die on that cross for us? Why not? I sent the cross to take care of that. I sent that cross to give you a destiny and a purpose." But just knowing that God is in charge can put us at ease in many unnerving situations. And we can't put our trust in God. He won't necessarily meet our every wants, but I tell you one thing, in my life, He has met every need that I've had. Every need. And you can be assured of that. Kimbrough says, "Knowing Jesus is in charge can put you at ease in life's most unsettling situation." And I believe that to be true. Number 2, humility and self-control. 1 Peter says, "Clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." Isn't humility great? It's one of those things when you think you have it, you've lost it. And God opposes the proud. And it's continuously what gets people in trouble. It breaks relationships and is self-centered. Like the song, "Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in so many ways." But being proud is a life buster. Being proud stops us from forgiving. Being proud stops us from going where God may send us. Being proud is not being able to tell somebody that you love the most that you actually do love them in fear that you might lose them. That's what pride does. Sometimes we don't think too highly of ourselves and don't leave much to give to others. Except to build ourselves up. If you need humbled, all I ask is on a clear night to go out there under the stars and just look up in the sky and see the universe, see all the galaxies, and understand that we're pretty insignificant. And then better understand that God has chose us personally for a one-on-one relationship. Isn't that something? A one-on-one relationship. Also, it's important to have self-control. That seems to be lacking so much in today's society. As youngsters, how many here were taught that discretion is a better part of valor? Somebody here. Do you remember that, Jerry, at all? Discretion is a better part of valor. That means if you want to be a man of valor, that you're discreet in what you do. That you have control. That you don't do crazy things to represent your mom and dad. And especially your Holy Father. That you're cautious because you want to portray to people God in you. We're cautious. This world's crazy. What with social networking, you have married congressmen sending pictures on Craigslist. You got teenagers sexting to other teenagers. You got football heroes doing the same thing. No discretion anymore. Certainly, it destroys your witness as a Christian and does not bear fruit. Absolutely does not bear fruit. Paul says this, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Yeah, you know, we have the right to do anything. But how beneficial are some of the things that we do? Why can't we control that? Why can't we think about what would Jesus do? How does that promote the kingdom in what we do? I mean, when we do silly things like that, does that draw people to you? Does it? Do people want to be with you? You know, it's funny in this world. We all watch programs because we love to see people out of control. Don't we? We love to see people out of control. But who wants to be with any of those people? Who wants to be with any of those people day in and day out from these reality shows? Who wants to be with them? Nobody. Because it's not a fresh-smelling fruit. It's rotten. It stinketh. I think there's a biblical term. It stinketh to high heaven. Or did I make that up? But no, it has a bad odor to it. Number three, patience and simplicity. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. I'm going to hear, have patience. I'm going to hear, pray for patience. Yeah, don't do that. There are things that God wants to give us on His timing, not ours. And we said that last week. God certainly has a sense of humor, and He's a nick of time God. He waits till we're hanging on that cliff by our fingernails, and then He meets our needs. And we say, why do we worry? The other thing, too, do we have patience with other people? Can we hold somebody's hand that just can't drop a situation? Can we walk them through a problem by giving them God's grace and mercy? Do we have the time of day and the patience to work with somebody that is a very difficult person? Now I know why patience is a virtue. But when we do that, it bears fruit. When we do that, people are drawn to us. And when we do that, we can change the kingdom. Also, we need to make it our ambition to lead a quiet life. In today's world, we pack every minute of our day. How many here wish they could simplify their lives? Well, not many. Everybody has a simple life, huh? Well, that's interesting. You know, even planning to have fun or to do recreational things, sometimes that's a stress. know, I got to book a motel. I might go fishing and do this. I got to get skis. I got to get snowshoes. And sooner or later, even that becomes complicated. In Thessalonians, we read, and make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. I think we're drawn to the quiet life. I know I am. How many are drawn to the Amish and the Mennonite? There are some of you. You can shake your head. The quiet life. Man, wouldn't it be nice just to ride buggies and horses and tend the farm? People respect them. They respect them because they slow down. Doesn't mean they aren't hard workers, because they are. But they're not dependent on things and situations. And they're not so stressed out that they don't have time to talk to other people. We really miss the boat when we are so stressed out and our time is taken up by so many things that we don't have time for one another. We don't have time to call somebody on the phone and see how they're doing. That's why maybe there are times that we have to live a simple, quiet life. Doesn't mean we don't work, because it says here to work with your hands so that your daily life may win the respect of others. So it's a fruit bearer to live a quiet life and have that respect of others. Number four, joy and gratitude. Of all the religions in the world, those who are Christians should have the most joy. Absolutely the most joy. We have a destiny. We have a future. We have a hope of eternity. Yet many of us don't portray this joy to others. We have the Eeyore syndrome. Oh my, it's time to go to work. It's time to play. It's time to do that. Instead of having that joy, that excitement to say, I wonder what God has for me today. I wonder who He's going to bring into my life today. I wonder how He's going to work out this situation today. I love Kimbrough here and the way he talks about liking the small things. No, it's okay to like. How many here like Snickers bars and chocolate sundaes? Yeah, okay. That brought a smile to everybody. Wish we had all that joy each and every day, looking forward to maybe the small things in life. Kimbrough talks about Old Yeller. How many here remembers Old Yeller? Great movie. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Old Yeller. And he talks about there are still some people that cry every time Travis has to shoot Old Yeller. And then they wonder why they don't make movies like that, like they used to. For those of you who never saw Old Yeller, please do so. It's a dog that at the end saves a life and gets rabies and has to be shot. I can cry just thinking about that. Why don't we have joy anymore to desire those things and to just be so happy of what God has given us? And more than that, why don't we have joy to know that our sins are forgiven, that we have a God that loves us unconditionally, and our destiny is certain? Now, that is something to smile about. Absolutely something to smile about. David said in Psalms, you turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Now that's a psalm of joy. We certainly could sing that. Gratitude. And with all this, why don't we have gratitude for the things God has given us? Why don't we have gratitude? Luke writes this. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. This is a story of Jesus healed 10 people. 10 people he healed. And only one came back to say thank you. And at that, one was a Samaritan who was the Samaritans were the arch enemies of the Jews. And Jesus is saying, hey, if my enemy comes back and thanks me, why can't you thank me? And why can't we give out thank yous? Are they that tough to give out thank yous? Is it tough to give out thank yous to waitresses and clerks and those that wait on us? Is it that tough? You know, we're so quick to criticize the rudeness that we get when we go to a store. But guess what? Where that's probably from? Probably the rudeness of the customers that they have to deal with. So why can't we say a thank you? Why can't we reach out? Why can't we just say, you know what? You're having a bad day, but God loves you, and so do I. Why can't we do that? Why can't we send cards? Why don't we send special thank yous? Because it's those actions that tell people you care. It's those actions that can change hearts. And those actions that can change attitude, that can absolutely change attitude. So I know we all have those people in our minds saying, now why don't I, you know, I really appreciate that. Why don't I tell them that? Well, let's do that. Let's do that. Because that's a fruit bearer. It really is. Last, and I think most importantly, sure signs of growth is faith and love. Let's be people of great faith and love. Dorothy Patterson in the book says this, a person of faith may experience loss, but not emptiness. Disappointment, but not despair. Adversity, but not defeat. I like that. I like that. That's a person of faith. Luke relates a story of a centurion asking for healing of a servant that was close to death. And he trusted Christ enough to say, you don't even have to come to my house. I trust you. All you need to do is tell me that it's done, and I'll accept that. And sure enough, the centurion's servant was healed when he went home. God has many promises for us. Many scriptural promises for us that we can dig up and we can read. And we have faith. We have faith that he's going to answer these promises. And that these promises will take place. And you know what? The world is looking at us for faith. They are. But this world's scary. This culture is scary. World situations are scary. And they're looking for somebody that's stable. Somebody that's upright. Somebody that can give them hope. And if we as Christians can't give people hope, then I don't know why we're here. I don't know why we're here. Of course, the greatest of these commandments that Jesus says when he talks about the Ten Commandments is that you love one another. And the centerpiece of bearing fruit, by the way, fruit can also be looked at as a cluster. Ginger always reminds me when you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it says fruit of the Spirit. It can be a cluster. And in the center of that cluster is love and all these other things that we've discussed. That's the fruit that we can bear. First John says this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. The vital connection. If we want love, we need to be vitally connected to God to receive His love. You know, that I love that little clip, that film clip, because it tells a story. That He wants us for His very own. And when we're unconditionally loved, it's so much easier to give out unconditional love. So much easier. 1 Corinthians says this, you know what, folks? You can prophesy. You can heal. You can even talk in different languages, but without, it's nothing. It's clanging cymbals. It's just noise. Let's not be a church of noise. Let's be a church that can give out the love that God pours into us. Let's be vitally connected. If we are to reach a lost and dying world, it can only be done by us loving one another. This is a trite statement, but I love it. And it says, people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. That's bearing fruit. That's changing the life. Carl Fitzgerald says this, to truly love someone means that we will always place that person's welfare above our own. This, after all, is how God loves us. And it can be demonstrated through us. And I see it demonstrated daily through Ginger Sisters. And through some of you here, absolutely. That's a demonstration of God's love, to care. One note in this cartoon, when it says bear fruit, it doesn't mean bear fruits. Do you get it? Do you get these signs? Do they make sense to you? Do you realize we can't get these traits from our own effort? These are great signs of maturity, and like I said, many are listed as a fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And like I said, we can strain and grunt and display these signs on our own, but they will come off as phony. They will come off as sour, foul-smelling, and bad-tasting, just as much as rotten fruit would do. It's something we acquire, something we grow into. It's a sign of our maturity as we stay connected to the one who loves us unconditionally. So we need to be connected. We need to be nourished by God's Word and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and have that work in our lives to even have these traits. And just as a tree bears fruit in season, the Father, the gardener, will nurture us. You're not alone. He'll nurture us. He'll water and he'll prune us if we're ready to get pruned. And he wants you to be the same nature as the vine. And these verses, Jesus Christ is the vine. That's our purpose. To be like the vine and bear fruit. None of these happen if we're cut off. If we're cut off from the vine in a close, intimate walk with Jesus, we're just going to be in ourselves again. And I tell you, I try to give people myself. There's nothing there to give. It's not very pretty. But the great news is that in the fruit, once we bear it, naturally produces, what's in the fruit? What does it naturally produce? Seeds. Seeds. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful spiritually and offer the seeds to other people. Be fruitful in a way that lives are changed, and they'll take that seed in their own heart and they'll change, and eventually what do? They bear fruit. Absolutely. Thanks, Debbie. So the question remains, do we want to bear fruit or do we want to die on the vine? Do you want a vibrant, exciting life of joy and expectation or be part of a world culture always complaining and always being disappointed in life? It was about 2 years ago. One of the gentlemen from the Phoenix House, his name was Bobby, got it. And Bobby was changed in his heart. And Bobby would come into our 12-step meeting with such joy and happiness. And you know, Bobby left, and the next week, we had three or four more guys from the house. And we said, well, tell me this. Why are you here? Are you here because, you know, you want to follow this 12-step? They said, no, we're here because we want what Bobby has. We want They saw it. They felt it. They tasted it. It was something appealing to them. They weren't here just for a Bible study. They were there to know what Bobby had. And Bobby had Jesus Christ in his life. Bobby was starting to bear fruit because people could see it. You want to have power? That's how you have power. By having what Bobby has. It would be great if they would, some people would say, I want to know what Don has. I want to have what Don has, or Mark has, or Jeff, or Charlie has, or Nance has. I want that. What is that? I want to find out. Boy, that ministers. That's better than knocking somebody over the head with a Bible, isn't it? If you want to be fruitful, let's get connected. It says, abide in me. Abide means to cling to dwell in, to be part of. That's what God wants for us in our lives. He wants us to be part of Him. To be messengers for Him. And He comes to us daily so softly saying, be mine. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You. We just thank You so much.